Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Same to me, too. It's wonderful. I've been doing a poll of fathers today and asking them what fun thing they're going to be doing. I've been struck by the lack of fun things that the fathers are going to be doing. Some of them begrudgingly said, yeah, it's Father's Day. Did one of those. One person told me they're going to be mowing their lawn, but I think they said it with a sense that they were really going to enjoy it. You know? But anyway, today is Father's Day, and I want to wish you all a happy Father's Day. Now, I know that there are whole different flavors of father here in the church. Some are new fathers. That is, they have brand new babies, or they're expecting a little one. And they haven't yet seen that little one, but that little one's coming, and they're every bit a father. And they're looking forward to the day when they'll be able to hold that child in their hands. And then there's some who are a little more experienced. They've been in the trenches of fatherhood for a while now. They've been dealing with the day in and day out and all that comes with it. And then there is that breed of father who has seen their child make the leap into adulthood. That's a very different kind of father. And I also know that there are fathers here who are fathers because of adoption. We praise God for them. And we know that there are stepdads among us. We praise God for them. And then I know there's the plain old vanilla type, like me. But no matter what kind of dad you are today, today's a day that's been set apart to uplift you and to offer you a word of encouragement. So as I prayed and I prayed for today's message and I prepared, I had a couple of verses come to mind. I guess a couple, three verses that I wanted to share today. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. And then train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And as the Lord laid those verses on me today, I thought I saw a connection, and I decided I wanted to share them with you in an attempt to offer you a word of encouragement, perhaps, as a dad, or maybe to exhort you and to remind you of the great responsibility that you have and the great responsibility you have to demonstrate yourself to be a godly father. And as a godly father, you should be honored and you should be uplifted. So let's take a moment and let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the way that you involve yourselves in our lives. We thank you, Father God, that you provided a means by which we could even come into your presence to take that which was stained and soiled and sinful, and you sent your Son to die for us that we might be made whole and clean and new and righteous in your presence. What an awesome God you are. And Father, to recognize that you have given us your word. A word to act as a lamp to our feet, a guide to us, that we might know what your purpose and plans are for us, and we might participate in your perfect ways. Oh, Father God, you are awesome. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the chance to gather together. Thank you for your great, great love. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the truth is be told, I'm not sure I ever really got the whole idea of Father's Day. You know, as a kid, we celebrated it primarily because my mother would remind my brother and I that today is Father's Day, and then we would do the prerequisite, we'd make a little card and we'd leave it there. But I never really understood it because I never really grasped the enormity and the responsibility that he had. And so I just saw it as one of those Hallmark holidays, you know, National Shoe Tying Day, or whatever else they've come up with to sell cards. That was all true until this moment. Now, I remember holding this little bologna loaf, and I remember being completely overwhelmed by the fact that he was mine, that I had this responsibility to look over this child, And as I look at the picture now, I'm overwhelmed that I had hair. I didn't really get a good grip, a glimpse of it before I put it up, but yeah, that's remarkable. But anyway, so there was this child in my arms, and I remember praying for that child and saying, Lord, this is big stuff. I don't know how to respond to this. And as I looked at this picture, I was reminded of our first verse this morning. It says this: children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring are a reward from him. Now a heritage refers to something received, something given as a special possession, an allotted portion. And the notion of a heritage is spoken of quite a bit in the Old Testament. God's statutes, his laws, are given to his people as a heritage from him. We're told that God's sovereign protection, God's faithfulness, is a heritage for the people of Israel. And even the wicked have a heritage from God. And that heritage is a heritage of judgment. So God's heritage is about him showing himself something in us by giving us something that reminds us of the character of God, something that is meant to say something about who he is. Now here, heritage is listed as, says children are the heritage. And we're told that they're a reward from him. Now this isn't a reward because we've done good. It's actually more of a statement of what he wants to lavish upon us. So it's a reward from him, it's a gift given from him, it's a benefit, if you will, a provision made for us. Now in ancient Israel, there was no social security system. There were no health plans. Okay, there was no way to take care of the aged. And so when children came about, they were a great blessing. The more children you had, the better chance you had for survival, just to meet the day-to-day needs. The more children you had, the better the opportunity that you would be taken care of in your old age. The more children you had, the better the chance that you would be able to have a legacy into the future, that you would be able to build a household well through the ages and have your name carried out. And because of all these benefits, children were seen as a privilege and a reward. And they were highly prized in Israel. Children were highly prized in Israel. Godly fathers understand the great gift they've been given in their children. Godly fathers recognize from the start that their children are not given to them as just a responsibility, just something more that they're supposed to do. Godly fathers are given children as a provision, as a statement of God's provision for them, and they are seen as a reward, a blessing. And it's important that godly men keep that in mind, because so often men can easily just think of children as kind of there. They're just kind of there. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a man say, "Well, yeah, I got to stay home tonight and babysit the kids." And I think to myself, they're yours. I'm not sure you babysit that which is yours. Your children have been given to you as a gift, and godly fathers recognize that. So if you have something that's given to you, that is precious to you, do you ignore it? I think not. I think generally speaking, when you're given something of great value, you want to take care of it. I mean, if someone drove up, gentlemen, into your driveway and they gave you, I don't know, let's say you like cars. Okay, and they just showed up and they dropped this beautiful vehicle in your driveway. They just said, "Hey, this is yours. This is yours. I want to lavish on you." My guess is, not only would you be overwhelmed and probably a little suspicious, but my guess is you'd take good care of it. You would treasure that thing because you saw it as so valuable. Well, if we start from the premise that our children are a heritage from the Lord, they're a reward from him. They are a blessing. The godly father is going to want to lavish himself upon that child. The godly father is going to want to demonstrate that he understands that he's been given this child of great reward. So how does the godly father go about demonstrating that he understands that God has made this provision for him. This passage comes to mind. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Godly mothers, are called to set themselves to the training up of their children in the way of righteousness. It is in this way that moms and dads honor God's provision of those children, and they demonstrate their thankfulness for what God has given to them. The way we as godly fathers can demonstrate to God how thankful we are for the provision of these invaluable children is to be a part of training them up. Now, the first thing we have to remember when we look at this verse is that this is a proverb. It is not a promise. It's a proverb, not a promise. It's a short way of expressing a general truth. A general truth about how God generally sees the way life works. It's a way of expressing how life ordinarily operates. But ordinarily doesn't mean necessarily. And so sometimes I've seen people say, well, my child is struggling and therefore I must have messed up the training. And I would say, no, it's a misapplication of the verse. Or vice versa, the child's doing well and so the parent struts around like this, you know? Like everything they've done with absolute perfection, and if only you followed my lead. If only you did it as I did it, your child wouldn't struggle. It's a proverb, it's not a promise. Now the scripture sees two ways that a child can go. There are two ways a child can go. A child can follow the way of righteousness, or the child can follow the way of the fool. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:15 that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. That means that foolishness, I'm sorry to say this to children, but foolishness is built right into them. They're all tangled up with it. I mean, they don't have that much experience. They don't have that much knowledge. And so they kind of bumble their way around. And foolish children, we're told, can bring sorrow to their parents. Foolish children can bring grief upon their parents, even ruin upon their parents. So we can safely assume when we look at this verse, train up a child in the way he should go, that the way he should go is not the way of foolishness. That their training up in the way he should go is the way of righteousness. I mean, after all, what greater gift can you imagine as a dad to give to your child than a love for Jesus Christ? What more could you give them that would match the blessing of allowing your child to know and love Jesus Christ, that they may have eternity in his presence? An eternity that will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. Is it good finances? Going to match that? Is it a brand new car, vacations? What is it that would match the all-wonderful gift of Christ Jesus? I would submit nothing matches. I mean, Jesus himself said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Fathers are about giving good gifts. And the best gift you can give your child is that they would come to know Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who has done any training, any teaching, any mentoring of any kind, knows that that can be extremely arduous work. Training is not typically a one-shot deal. Maybe sometimes, but not typically. And generally speaking, training is going to take time and effort, especially given the fact that we're told that folly is bound in the heart of a child. So to somehow think as a father that, well, this should be easy, I should say X and it should occur. I should say, go, child. Do likewise. And they go, but don't do likewise. And then I'm baffled. I don't get it. It's because they're fools. And a father understands that. A godly father understands that it's bound up in them, so the process is going to take time. You know, it reminds me of sitting at the T-ball. I don't ever do T-ball. It's dangerous. Okay, and I remember putting the ball on the stick and standing at about 300. Because inevitably the kid would swing the bat and try to catch you in the head while you're putting the ball on the stick. Okay, even if you tell him, don't, please don't. And you put the ball there and they'd swing. It took time to train them up. And then when they hit the ball, at least my kids, ran to third base. Again and again and again, and I'd say, no, love, no, first base, that's first base. And I'd get the answer, no, but I want to run this way. Training takes time. It's arduous. So if you're going to be training up a child in the way they should go, then you're going to want to keep a couple things in mind. Now, there are a lot of things to keep in mind, but I'm going to focus on two. The first is this. Dads, if you're going to be a godly father, then one of the things you're going to want to keep in mind is that you're going to need to understand the skill you're teaching. You're going to need to understand the skill you're teaching. Now, for those of you who know me, know that I am a horrendous carpenter. I don't know what line I was standing in when gifts and talents were given out, but I was not given that one. But I know men here who do know that skill. There's our brother Ray and our brother Chad, outstanding woodworkers. For me to try to teach a class in woodworking would be folly. But for them, they know what they're doing. Or how about math? Oh, math. I can count to 10 sometimes accurately if I hold all 10 fingers out in front of me. But that's not even a guarantee. But my sister Ann Davis, she knows math. She could do it, and she could do it well. Dads, if you're going to teach your child the way he should go, you should know the way. You should know the way yourself. You can't teach your child what you do not know. And you cannot lead your child where you are not willing to go. If, dads, you are not in the Word, if, dads, you're not in prayer, dads, if you're not thinking about how you're growing and you're not desiring to submit yourselves to the leadership of Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, then it's going to be almost impossible for you to pass on that lesson to that precious child that's been given to you as a gift. The second thing that a dad may want to know if they're going to be doing this training up is you've got to keep the long view in mind. You've got to keep the long view in mind. The godly father wants to keep in mind that through all of life's lessons, through all of the ups and downs, through the beginnings and the ends and the hard times and the good times and the laughter and the like, in the end, the goal is that your child may come to know and love Jesus Christ. We're reminded of this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it talks about, speak about God when you're at home, when you're walking on the road. Speak about him when you rise in the morning and when you lay your head down at night. Because Moses knew that life is meant to be lived in the knowledge of the Lord. All of life is to be interpreted through the screen of the Lord. You can't be too scriptural. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want to spiritualize that. I'm thinking, how do you not spiritualize all of life? Because it's all his. It's all his. Every experience is to be made submitted to Christ. Every good time is to be offered to him in praise because he's the giver of all good gifts. Every hard time is to be given to him, to lean on him, and to ask for his Spirit to guide us and direct us. So a godly father understands that that's the end goal, that my child would come to know and love Jesus Christ. That's what we want. The godly father also understands, and keeping mind on that goal, that you cannot cause your child to make a decision for Christ. You can lead them there. You can create an environment that allows them to see Jesus at work, but you can't force them to the table. You can't force them to the table. And a godly father keeps that in mind. The decision for a child to come to know Christ is between the child and God. But a father can be a part. A godly father can be a part of creating a home where that child has the greatest possible opportunity to hear the voice of the Spirit calling to him, calling to her. Come to me, sinner. Submit yourself to me. Bow down and receive me as Lord and be alive and free. Now the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now have you ever noticed, perhaps you have you ever noticed yourself saying something that your mother or father has said? Perhaps you have done something that your mother or father would do. This is not by accident. This is because you have been trained up. You see, over the years, you had seen them do that particular thing countless times. Or you had heard them say that particular thing countless times. And in time, you adopted it. It kind of became a part of you. This reminds me of something in my household. I was playing with one of my sons when they were very little, and we were playing the name game. What does a cow say? My child's very bright, so they said, moo. And then I said, what's a horse say? And they said, neigh. I said, what's a cat say? And they said, meow. What's a piggy say? And they said, oink. And by the way, pigs don't say oink. I don't know where we got that. But anyway, so he said, oink. And then I got clever. See, I thought, I wonder what he hears daddy say. You know? And I'm picturing, this is going to be good stuff right here. So I said, and what does daddy say? And he looked and said, don't pick your nose. Don't pick your nose. Now listen, I have told this child from the very beginning, I love you, child. You are dear to me. How precious you are. In the morning, I'd say, you know, I love you. At night, I'd say, I love you. You know why I love you? Because Jesus gave you to me. I went on and on. Don't pick your nose. Apparently, I was saying something other. In his little head, he was hearing something far more often than I love you. What you're around has an impact on you. And you start to pick up the real lessons. So that said, I think, although parents can't be assured that their training will guarantee them the way they should go, that is the way of righteousness, what I think you can be assured of is that your training, your godly training, your desire that your child might see Christ at work, that message can be drilled in and they can be reminded of it again and again, and it will make walking away from the trail much more difficult. Much more difficult. Because as that child strays, they're going to be reminded, my parents told me about Jesus. As they purpose to move away from Christ, they're going to be reminded, no, Christ calls me. He loves me. And it makes rebellion so much more difficult. It doesn't guarantee that rebellion won't occur, but it makes it harder. And what should bring joy to a father's face at times than to make their child's life harder? Come on. All right. The godly father understands that his children are a gift from God. Godly father sets to work training them up in the way they should go, in the way of righteousness. This verse is from Ephesians. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, you know that training is not one-sided. It's work for the trainer and the trainee. Now, in the ancient world, in Roman culture in particular, the father had enormous responsibility and he had enormous power over his household. In some cases, the power of life and death. And so, given the perchance we have for sinfulness, because we're sinners and we're drawn to it, it was easy to imagine that a Roman father or a father of that era could easily fall into being a tyrant, to being so authoritative that the lessons could potentially be lost. Now, Paul understood the role of the father as a trainer, as an instructor. He also understood that they had this responsibility laid upon them, and it was a significant one. But he warns fathers to be careful. Do not exasperate. That is, do not make angry. Do not frustrate your children. And then he gives this little add-on. Instead of being one who is exasperating, he gives the add-on that says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So it gets me to thinking. If children are a gift from God, they're a heritage from the Lord. And parents are called to train up their children in the way they should go, in the way of righteousness. Then it might be exasperating to a child if they are taught in a way that actually gets in the way of them seeing the way they should go. I can't think of anything quite as frustrating as being taught the wrong lesson and having the wrong lesson taught again and again, all the while being critiqued for my not getting the right lesson. I remember coming home one day to find the toilet clogged again. We had turned it into a sport. And I wasn't happy. My plunging skills had gotten exceptionally good through training and practice. And I was ticked. And I went in there, and I'm plunging this thing out, and I'm saying out loud, you know, I can't believe we're doing this. This is not a hard skill. How hard can it be? Blah, 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 blah. Unplugging the toilet. Then it dawned on me. I worked so hard to try to get across the message to be patient and long-suffering, as though a toilet clogged is suffering. Working so hard to teach self-discipline. Working so hard that children would see love and grace and mercy at work. And there I sat, teaching a very, very different lesson. There's only one way to recover from that. To go and say to your child, I blew it. I trained you up in the way you should go, in the wrong way. I trained you up, but in the wrong way. And for that, I'm sorry, because I have a higher responsibility. Godly fathers strive to not exasperate their children by teaching the wrong lessons, and all the while demanding that their child show the right lesson. Now I have a freebie. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so godly fathers remind themselves that their children are a gift from God. And godly fathers set themselves to the task of training up their children in the way they should go, drawing their child to know Christ and love Christ. And godly fathers work to not exasperate their children by teaching the wrong lessons. But the truth is that if you are engaged in the training up of your child, if you are living in the real world, you are going to mess it up. Even a godly father is going to mess it up. And that's why I think this is my life verse. Because those times that I've been given with my children to train them up in the way of the Lord, they are truly precious times. No greater gift can I give my child, and to not be about that work is sinful, because I'm withholding from them the very thing they need me for. And so I come to the Lord, and I have to confess my sins, and I'm reminded of this promise: he is faithful, and he is just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The godly father confesses his sin, he confesses his failings, and then he keeps moving. And along the way, the godly father has to be reminded that fathers don't do it on their own. They don't accomplish this task of training up a child because of their own intelligence and their own skill, their own gifts. They do it as they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, as they submit themselves to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to be at work in their lives, showing them the way, encouraging them, and strengthening them for the task ahead. So today is Father's Day. And I pray that all of us dads will remember that our children are a gift from God. I pray that you'll remember that your children need to be set an example, and that example is done through the day-to-day training up of that child and the way they should go, that they may come to know and love Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would remember that our children need to be taught correct lessons so that they don't become exasperated and angry and perhaps pushed away needlessly from the God that we so love. So whether you are currently on track in your fathering, or maybe you found yourself today wandering, you've lost track of the mission, you've lost focus, if you are in the game, if you are desiring to be back in the game, then you are deserving of honor. Because fathering is hard work. Fathering is an enormous responsibility. And godly fathering is the most noble of tasks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you are the perfection of fatherhood. And as we look to you, as we lean upon you, as we endeavor to follow you, you will not leave us nor forsake us to the task you've provided us, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and direct us. So, Father God, we entrust ourselves to you as dads. Help us to be godly fathers. And, Father God, we pray that this will bring you honor and glory. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.